saves him. At least they tries his luck. That is a magnificent execution of a free kick. And one that has massive ramifications for Manchester United.
Yes, it certainly does. That was a disappointing evening for Manchester United. 1-1 draw with Crystal Palace. We'll go through the match, and then we'll review the Arsenal game for the weekend. This is the United Land Podcast. Yep, so a really disappointing evening. 1-0, it looked like job done. It wasn't a pretty performance. There were lots of positives, individual performances that you were proud of, just getting the job done. And then just a few errors crept in, a bit of lethargy. It was just disappointing to have that result. And if it had ended 4 minutes earlier, 5 minutes earlier, and we got the 1-0 win, I'd have looked at this game as a game that Premier League winners, get, and they get those wins even when they're not playing that well. The first half we were very much in control. Second half, I don't know what happened. We just kind of let them into the game. To be fair, Crystal Palace have some good players. They work really hard for each other. They've got some good skills, and they can beat a player. They're strong. And they never gave in. And this was a game that we should have put to bed. There were a few chances, but it just wasn't to be. And it's a really disappointing thing. And then on top of that, Casemiro gets a yellow card to take him out of the game at the weekend. Anyway, let's break this down. The starting lineup was probably the starting lineup you imagined. Other than Weghorst came in as striker. Martial wasn't available, so that was the obvious choice at the top. So we have De Gea, left-back, Shaw back at left-back, and Martinez and Varane, centre-back pairing, with Wan-Bissaka keeping his place at right-back while the injured Dalot was out. You then had a midfield of Casemiro and Eriksen, with Fernandes ahead, Rashford on the left, Antony on the right, and Weghorst at the top. Going through each player, I thought De Gea had two fantastic saves. I will actually put him as I understand he had made two fantastic saves. I looked at him at the free kick, and I wasn't pleased with his positioning. The way that you line up a wall is so that you can see the ball. You can see the ball, but you can your wall is defending the area of the goal that you're away from. And he was behind the wall with his weight on his right-hand side, looking around the wall to see the ball. And that takes away a tiny percentage of the reaction time, but enough that he didn't get to the ball. You know, that was a savable. If he had dived straight away there, seen it first time, it was savable. You know, it would have been a fantastic save, and all these things, are in hindsight. But I was looking at him, I was looking at the body position, and I think he got it all wrong. And I think if he analyzes it and looks back, he'll see that it wasn't quite right. But it wasn't just that. They'd had a couple of chances. The free kick was soft to give away, and you can blame individuals, but collectively we weren't good enough in that second half, and it was frustrating. I thought the back four was pretty solid. Actually, I thought Varane and Martinez complement each other beautifully, as always. Martinez came back into the team. I thought he just looked slightly off the pace, ever so slightly. Just a few times he got the wrong side of the man and gave away a yellow card that was, absolutely a yellow card and due to maybe just a little lack of sharpness. I thought Varane was was fantastic. You know, does his job very well. I thought Wan-Bissaka was brilliant. You know, he doesn't fill you with confidence yet. You know, you're just still waiting for silly mistakes, but he's not making them anymore. And that's, you know, really a real big positive to have, you know, the two right backs available. And when Dalot comes back, I'm sure he will get in. But Wan-Bissaka, if he continues the trajectory that he's on with his attacking play, you know, his defensive play takes care of itself. And you very much back him in a one-on-one with chasing down the defender and the attacker. And there was, in the last minute against Zahar, where he got back. To be fair, Zahar was actually already probably going over, but Wan-Bissaka made sure and, you know, stopped a potential absolute disaster, which it would have been if we'd gone on to lose that game. Shaw, again, very dependable. I didn't see him really push forward as much as he has done. He looks so comfortable now. He knows exactly who he is. He knows that his value in the team. And he plays some really good balls. There was a ball that he whipped in for Weghorst, which, you know, I'm not sure if he'd have done a year or two ago. And he just trusts himself, and he knows that if he doesn't decide to go forward, that he will make a sensible pass. And there's a lot of calmness to his play, which is great. Casemiro, I thought, again, was fantastic. To be fair, the tackle that he made was important, you know, to give away the yellow card. And those are very tricky, because there was obviously a bigger context to that yellow card that he misses the Arsenal game. But in the context of this game and at that precise moment, you know, Crystal Palace were attacking. They could have had a shot. And maybe it was a yellow card that on another day would have been, you know, a just yellow card and one that we didn't mind giving away. As it turns out, it's really disappointing. Luckily, we've got Fred, who is performing at a good level, and I think he'll do a good job, and it may free us up to be a little bit more attacking, giving Fred that kind of man marking job on someone like Odegaard potentially, and then freeing up another attacking player. We'll see how it goes. Maybe that is unlikely, but you know, sometimes things happen that create opportunities for other players and different ways of playing, and Fred is not a bad option at the moment. And you know, we have a game plan to set up against Arsenal, and it now doesn't include Casemiro, and that's what it is. Eriksen, always so calm. I can't keep on talking enough about this guy. He just makes the right decisions. There was a moment in the first half where you saw him tracking back, and I thought it was Shaw at one point because he was really moving and he was getting back, and I was thinking, good on Shaw for getting back into his position at left back, obviously. And then it turned out it was Eriksen moving all the way, and he ended up having to make that tackle, but didn't just make the tackle, kept possession, and then we started again an attack. And you know, that was a really impressive part of his game that I didn't know necessarily existed. You know, we know what happened to him at the European Championships with Denmark over a year ago now, 18 months ago. And to see him running so freely and putting the shift in that he does week in, week out, as well as the calmness on the ball, as well as making the passes that really count. And that was the truth in the goal. Was it was just a meandering little run that somehow Rashford just, it was a very easy ball. It looked so easy. And Rashford played this beautiful ball through to Eriksen. And as soon as you're in that position, Eriksen's in that position, you know he's going to make the right decision. And he knew that somebody, probably Bruno, was going to be hanging back. And he was. And he had time to even take a touch and put the ball in the goal. So Eriksen he's another level of a player. He's a player we've been crying out for a long time, and it's really good to see him, Casemiro, and then Fernandes. Fernandes, I didn't realise how much lacking in pace he is. Yeah, there's a few occasions, and maybe it was unfair against Mitchell on that left side. Maybe Mitchell's pretty fast, but he can't take past a player, or certainly couldn't take past Mitchell. And that's not his game. That's fine. He was okay today. There just wasn't much in that final third from United. And that included Rashford. It certainly included Antony, who is each game is getting disappointingly more and more superfluous. Like, I don't know what he is. I don't know what Antony is bringing to the team at the moment. His aggression is kind of plateaued. It's not the same level as I saw in those first few games. And he slows the ball every time. He gets the ball, he then squares up to the defender, always looking to go in the inside, and it's just easy. And by then, the rest of the defence has got back, and it's really frustrating. I want to see him take it on the outside, because I think he's got the pace to take. He just hasn't got a right foot, you know. And it's really frustrating. It's very, very frustrating, because even, you know, Garnacho and Rashford on that left side, who are both heavily right footed, they have countless times taken it on the outside. Saturday being an example of with the goal, you know, Garnacho spun, you know, just a little break on the outside, and crossed it in with his left foot. I don't think Antony has that, and it's very frustrating, because we know what he's going to do every single time. I don't know what the answer is. I presume he's just going to get better, and I'm sure Ten Hag can see that. You know, but yeah, it was frustrating. Rashford looked a little bit tired. There's a few times where he didn't track back, and he just didn't get a lot of the ball. And Weghorst, I don't know. I like the idea of having that person that we know that is a focal point, that he can hold the ball up. He did okay. He was fine. The cross in from Shaw, that could have been a really... Because if he scored that, that would have been a goal that we wouldn't have scored on any other day. And that would have really justified his purchase of that kind of, you know, something different. A glancing header that only a 6'6" player could have got, really. And he did okay. He was fine. I quite like the focus point. He looks pretty slow. You know, he's certainly not going to... I don't think he's going to get in behind anybody, but then that's not his job. We've got other players to do that. So I think the forward three or forward four with Fernandes, I think it wasn't there day to day, and they didn't really do anything. There was a point in the second half, and I just came across me that I didn't know what the goalkeeper's name was. I was thinking, who's the goalkeeper? And then I was trying to think and trying to picture him, because that's what you do. Say, oh, yeah, he made that. And then I was thinking, he hasn't actually had to do anything the whole game. Guaita, for Crystal Palace, didn't have to do anything the whole game. There wasn't... I don't think there was one save. There was a moment in the last minute where Casemiro, a cross came in and you know, it could have bounced in off. And that was one of the few times you saw him in a kind of goalkeeping position of trying to save the ball. And that's really worrying, I suppose. I mean, it isn't worrying in the context that we're doing good at the moment, and this is why it's so disappointing. You know, it could have been going into the Arsenal game a real high of just a really workmanlike win. But now we go in having dropped points and losing Casemiro and not looking very good. So, you know, and also all the key players played and will be tired, and they played on Saturday. So, you know, not many positives. I think the defence looked solid. I think the midfield looked solid again. We need to work on our attacking play a little bit more. I really would love Sancho to come back and be the Sancho that we know he can be. And then obviously Martial needs to be added to that. But yeah, I think days like this make you wonder if there's something we're missing. But, you know, this is just the reaction of somebody who's really disappointed in losing the win today, losing the 3 points. But it was 1 point. It wasn't a loss. And, you know, we've got to move on. So we've got to look forward to the match this weekend. We're now 8 points. No. We are now behind Arsenal. So Arsenal, before this game, were 9 points ahead of us. And now they are 8 points ahead of us. We're on the same points as Man City. If we beat Arsenal, we'll be within 5 points, but they'll have a game in hand. So, you know, going back to the game against City, there was a moment where if everything had gone our way in this next week, we would have been on the same points as Arsenal. And now the best that we can be is within 5, and the worst that it could be is 11 points difference. And that, you know, that will be too much, because that we've also got a game in hand. So that's effectively, you know, 14 points. And it's been done before, and it's only halfway through the season. But I can't imagine us certainly catching Arsenal with that. So this weekend is a massive game. And we look at it with a positive attitude, having known that we beat them last time. We weathered the storm. They played well against us, and on another day, they could have beaten us. But we reacted really well to their goal and scored. Rashford scored two goals after they equalised. I think the matchups are going to be who can boss the midfield. You know, having lost Casemiro, I think if presumably Fred, but maybe McTominay come in and do a job against Partey and particularly Odegaard, who drops a bit deeper now. I've noticed he's running the show, and he, I think, is the key. I think Yusaka's, Martinelli's, they're fantastic players, but I feel if Odegaard isn't ticking, then that's where Arsenal will struggle. But they do have lots of options, lots of attacking options. You've got the Martinelli, you've got Saka, we've got Odegaard, Nketiah comes on, and they've got the new boy who has been pretty good recently. Played in the cup at the weekend. So that was, what was his name? He's the Portuguese player, Fabio Vieira. And then Smith Rowe can come on the bench. I imagine it will be a party in and Xhaka midfield. The back four will very likely be Saliba, Gabriel, Zinchenko, and White. With the goalkeeper being Ramsdale. I imagine that will be their team. That seems to be their go-to team at the moment. The only player who's missing is Jesus, and Nketiah seems to be doing a good job. But, you know, we just have to be positive. You know, we've got to throw everything at it. I think if we don't win this game now, then there isn't a title race. And I don't know if that helps, potentially, that we just have to go for it. I think if we'd won today, then we, you know, maybe even a draw would have been a good result. And we'd have, you know, thought, okay, let's get a draw, let's not lose ground. Whereas now I feel like the only way is to go and win that game. It's disappointing today. I'm sure you can hear it in my voice. I'm sure you're all feeling it. It's halfway through the season. We've played 19 games, and this is the exact halfway point. We are third in the league. Most importantly, I think for this season, we're 6 points ahead of fifth place. So with no games in hand, everything equal, 6 points. And, you know, it'd be nice to have 7 points or even more. You know, 6 points is only two games, particularly with our very low goal difference. But I think if we can get that top four this season, realistically, that's a really good result. You know, and if we could sneak a cup win, then I think we've got to be positive. And it's, you know, going to be that season of rebuilding and getting the positive feeling back at Old Trafford. But if we win against Arsenal this weekend, then we can still dream a little bit, and we can be a little bit excited for the rest of the season, because there's a lot of football to be played. And if we beat Arsenal, it will rock them. It will make them nervous. And there's no other team who's firing at the moment. You know, Newcastle, they're just very solid, but they're not a team that I think people need to worry about. You know, we still have to play them. Liverpool will have a run at some point. They'll get back into form, and I'm sure that they will get close to that fourth spot. I can't imagine them finishing lower than fifth. You know, I'm pretty sure that they will have a run. Chelsea are spending. Maybe it'll click for them at some point. I can't see them making up 10 points. But, you know, they've got quality there, and they have got a good manager who I'm sure will get them playing once he's able to put the stamp on them. Brighton's and Brentford's and Fulham's, they're doing fantastically well, but obviously I don't think we need to be worried about them. So your Tottenham, I mean, Tottenham are a very funny team. They've been pretty uninspiring, and yet they're still above everybody else outside that top four. So, you know, they've got a manager who knows how to win. They've got a manager who knows how to get what he wants. So I wouldn't be surprised if they somehow stick there. But, you know, we have to, at the moment, feel that this is where we are at, and today's results are going to happen. We didn't lose. You know, last season we'd have lost that game. We should have won. It would have been nice to win. And I think I'd have been sitting here pretty smug if we'd won, knowing we didn't play well. But we didn't play well, and unfortunately, we probably got what we deserved. A 1-1 draw with Crystal Palace. Fair play to Crystal Palace. I have been slightly, like, you know, they've had a pretty bad form. They've lost four out of the last six. Now 1-1, drawn one in the last six. And, you know, the bottom kind of goes all the way up to them now, I would say. I think Aston Villa, now they've got a really good manager, I think they're safe. But basically, Crystal Palace, Forest, Leeds United, Leicester City, Wolves, Bournemouth, West Ham, Everton and Southampton, they're all in trouble. You know, including Crystal Palace. But I think Crystal Palace will probably have enough. But from 12th down, it's very close. And all of them, all of those teams, I wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't find any of those games easy, because they all can beat everybody, you know, each other, and that's the beauty of the Premier League. So let's look forward to Sunday, the big one. If we can sneak a win there, then I think these three games overall would be a big success, because these three games were a big moment in our season. City, Crystal Palace, Arsenal. If we were saying we were going to take 7 points out of those three games, then I think we would choose it that way around, because at least then it meant that Arsenal and City would be dropping those points. It's just frustrating when the win was there available to us and we couldn't quite see it out. So it's going to be a Man United without Casemiro. It's Sunday. I am looking forward to it a lot. I think I'll be looking forward to it even more in 2 or 3 days' time when I've got over this result. And I hope you are too. I will be reviewing that game and looking ahead at the cup fixtures that we're going to be having. So the cup fixtures are, we have Forest in the semi-final first leg on the Wednesday after the Arsenal game. The Arsenal game is a 4:30 kickoff UK time. And then the following weekend is the home tie against Reading from the Championship. And that's an evening kickoff on the Saturday, the 28th. And then that's followed by Forest at home, the second leg of the semi-final. And then actually we play Crystal Palace again very soon. So it's actually, after Arsenal, it's our next Premier League game. But we'll be playing at home. So we'll hopefully get our revenge pretty quickly. Okay, that's it for today. I am the United Man. This is a Manchester United podcast. Take care.